To introduce our lesson, we want to read two verses of Scripture that are no doubt familiar to all of us. We want to read John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In these verses, Jesus stated that his disciples can know something that is very special, and that is the truth. But Jesus also revealed the key to knowing the truth. He talked about continuing or abiding in his word. That is the key to knowing the truth. Knowing the truth is essential. It's essential because the truth makes us free. It provides spiritual freedom. We can apply those principles to many, many subjects. And of course, we need to know that. We need to know the truth on all Bible subjects. The key to doing that is continuing in the Lord's Word. But tonight, for a little while, we want to deal with one particular subject. This is the theme of our lesson. We can know the truth about the Lord's return. It seems that the Lord's return is beginning to receive quite a bit of attention. I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the years I have noticed that whenever world events begin to occur, such as are taking place at the present time, there are some who begin to talk about the Lord's return. Just the other night I was trying to find something to watch on TV. Sometimes that's a challenge. I was going through a number of channels. And I happened to see one particular setting where a preacher was preaching to an audience. I thought, well, this could be interesting, so I listened in just a minute or two. That's all I could take. But this man was talking about the first and second tribulation. He was also talking about the first and second rapture. And I thought, this poor man needs to study some passage of Scripture that he's obviously overlooking. He was concerned about the book of Revelation. And I learned a long time ago that before you study passages of Scripture that are challenging, be sure that you know what is taught in passages that are stated very clearly, that are easy to understand. Because the Bible is not going to teach one thing in one place and something else in another place. If that was the case, then we would have a contradiction, and the Bible could not be the inspired Word of God. But the Bible does not contradict itself. It's the perfect Word of God. It's complete. God has given it to us just the way He wants us to have it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, we need to know the truth about the Lord's return. It's unfortunate, but there are some who are beginning to say some things that are not accurate. Well, what's the key to dealing with this particular subject? Just what our Lord said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can know the truth about the Lord's return. Now, these are passages that we've dealt with on other occasions, but we need to be familiar with them. Because you never know when we might have an opportunity to have a discussion with someone. And it's been my experience that a number of people have never examined the passages that we'll be looking at. But these are all verses that are easy to understand. They're very clearly stated in the Bible, and they deal with a very important subject, that is the Lord's return. Where do we begin? I believe this is where we need to start. And that is, the Lord's word teaches that Jesus will return. I believe that's what we would call ground zero. That's where we need to start. Does the Bible address the Lord's return? Yes, it does. And the Bible teaches very clearly that the Lord will return. As a matter of fact, Jesus, not too long before he was crucified, promised his disciples that he will return. Let's turn to John chapter 14. We want to read the first four verses. Remember, Jesus had informed his disciples that he was leaving them. They could not go with him. They were upset. And Jesus spoke some words that were designed to comfort them. He talked about a number of subjects, but one subject he talked about was his return. Let not your heart be troubled. You can see what our Lord was attempting to do. He was attempting to calm the troubled hearts of the disciples. We know why their hearts were troubled. Jesus had said, I'm leaving you. You cannot go with me. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Our Lord made it very clear in verse 3 that although he was leaving his disciples, he told them what he was going to do, to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. But he said, I will come again. Now that ought to settle it once for all. I believe that the Lord knows more about his return than anyone else. He said, I will come again. But as we examine the Lord's word, we see that there are a number of messengers who also reveal that Jesus will return. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we want to read verses 10 and 11 and consider what two angels had to say. Now, angels are messengers from God. We read about a number of occasions in the Bible when angels delivered messages to men from God. That's exactly what took place on this occasion. Jesus had been with his disciples for a period of 40 days after his resurrection. At the end of that 40-day period, he ascended to heaven to be at the Father's right hand. The disciples were present when Jesus ascended. Let's consider what two angels had to say. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, you can just imagine how the disciples were gazing up into the sky while Jesus ascended. Notice that Luke tells us, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, how did the Lord leave the earth and go to heaven? The Bible teaches in verse 9 that he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight, that is the sight of the apostles. These two angels, messengers from God, said that Jesus will return in the same manner. That harmonizes completely with what was written by another of the Lord's messengers. Let's look at Revelation 1 and verse 7 and consider what the Apostle John wrote. Revelation 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here John was referring to the Lord's return. And he agreed completely with what the angels revealed in Acts chapter 1 as they were speaking to the apostles. Notice that he comes with clouds. The Lord's return will not only be visible to a few people. John said, now remember he's an inspired apostle, he said, every eye shall see him. Well, that ought to settle several issues. Everybody will see the Lord when he returns. Well, these passages from the Lord's word help us to know the truth. On the Lord's return, the Lord's word teaches that Jesus will return. But we need to pursue this matter just a little bit further. The Lord's word teaches when Jesus will return. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. We want to read verses 30 and 31. The Apostle Paul was in the city of Athens. He was given an opportunity to speak in a place that's called Mars Hill. He spoke about a number of things. Remember that the people there had a number of idols that they worshiped. And Paul began by talking about that. But he went on to talk about the one true God. And let's notice something that he mentioned in connection with the fact that there's one God. Verses 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Notice here that Paul mentions the judgment. The judgment will occur when our Lord returns. And he said very clearly that God has appointed a day when his Son will return in judgment. That's very plain. That's easy to understand. God has appointed a day for the return of his Son. However, concerning the exact time of that day, the Bible makes it very clear that no man knows. Let's look at Matthew 24 and read verse 36. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Well, that harmonizes with what we just read in Acts chapter 17, where Paul said that God has appointed a day. God knows when that day will be. No one else does. Look at verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Look at chapter 25 and verse 13. This is the conclusion to the Lord's parable of the virgins. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now let's also tie in Mark chapter 13. This illustrates the importance of studying all passages that deal with a particular matter. One extra little detail is revealed in Mark 13, verses 32 and 33. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. When Jesus was here fulfilling his ministry, he said he did not know the time of his return. He said he's coming back, but he said he didn't even know the time of his return. But the Father has appointed a day for the return of his beloved Son. There are several passages, though, that teach us that that day will arrive as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. There's some important information revealed in 1 and 2 Thessalonians concerning the Lord's return. These Christians in Thessalonica were confused about that very important subject. So that provided the Apostle Paul with an opportunity to write two letters to that congregation. And we are blessed to have that information dealing with the Lord's return, as well as other matters. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." This is not the only passage that uses that particular wording. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 begins by saying, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Now, what's the significance of that expression, comparing the Lord's return to, or the time of the Lord's return, to a thief's activity in the night? It will be unexpected. No one knows the time of the Lord's return. When Jesus was here on earth, he said he didn't know when he's coming back. Now, he very clearly stated in John 14 that he is coming back, but he said he did not know the time of his return. Here we have some inspired writers telling us that the day of the Lord's return will arrive as a thief in the night. You know, just recently, a warning was given to certain people in the Middle East to clear out because war is coming. Now, people have to make a decision. Will they leave or will they face what's coming? That was a warning that was given. But just a few days earlier, an attack was made without warning. The people were not prepared, and many lost their lives. If the terrorist had said, "We're going to attack at a particular day, at a particular time, at a particular place," I doubt that those people would have been doing whatever they were doing. They would have been ready for that. They would have been prepared. They didn't know what was coming. Contrast that with the warning given to other people. Well, how does that relate to the Lord's return? We don't know when Jesus is coming back. That day will arrive as a thief in the night. It will be without warning. It will occur suddenly. As a matter of fact, we'll see some verses which indicate that it will come at a time when it's not even expected. Maybe that ought to help us appreciate the fact that Jesus said, "Watch and be ready." You know, all we need to do is listen to the Lord's word. If we'll do that, we'll know the truth. Now, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I'm willing to predict that you're going to hear a lot about signs that are recorded in Matthew chapter 24, as well as other passages, especially statements that relate to hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Jesus did indeed talk about a number of signs in the first part of Matthew chapter 24. But those signs have nothing to do with his return. Those signs have to do with the time when the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. I just finished reading the Gospel of Matthew a couple of days ago, and I spent just a few moments thinking about the questions that the disciples asked at the beginning of Matthew 24. They wanted Jesus to observe the great buildings of the temple, and the Lord said, "A time is coming when there won't be one stone left upon another." The disciples were concerned about that, and they apparently thought from the questions that they asked that only a great event like the Lord's return could cause such horrible destruction. Well, Jesus gave a number of signs whereby his followers would know when the temple was about to be destroyed. You see, the temple was not the only place in Jerusalem that would be destroyed. The entire city would be destroyed, and the people in it, many of them, would lose their lives. The Lord was telling his followers to watch out for these signs that would occur, because you know that the end is just about near. Not the end of time, but the end of the temple. And it's interesting that the Lord's followers had access to what he said. They continued in his word. They knew the truth. And we have an uninspired source that says not one faithful child of God lost his life in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. Why? Because they knew the signs. They saw that things were about to happen, and they left. That's what the Lord said. We would say in our language today, head for the hills. That's basically what Jesus told his followers. He said, when you see these signs coming to pass, head for the hills. Leave Jerusalem. Get out. Well, those signs that Jesus gave in the first part of Matthew 24 had to do with the time when the temple would be destroyed. Then the Lord turned his attention to his return. You see, the disciples made a mistake. They thought that the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the Lord's return would have to do with the same events. Jesus said, not so. The temple will be destroyed. He said, I'm going to return later. But he did give some very helpful information concerning his return. So, these signs are not only mentioned in Matthew 24, they're mentioned in some other passages as well. But we need to study them in their proper context and realize what the Lord was actually talking about. So the Lord's word teaches that Jesus will return. The Lord's word also teaches when Jesus will return. No one knows that day, only the Father, because he has appointed a day for the return of his beloved Son. Now, as we continue to look at the Lord's word, we see that some additional details are revealed that have to do with this very important subject. Let's look at Matthew 25 and read verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When Jesus returns, will he be by himself? Or will he have some company? He's going to have some great company. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. That will be a spectacular sight, to see not only the Lord returning in his glory, but being accompanied by all the holy angels. What a magnificent sight that will be. That's a very important detail that is revealed in the Lord's word concerning his return. The holy angels will accompany our Lord when he comes back. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and read verse 16. We will notice that certain sounds will be heard. We know that the holy angels will be seen, but then there are certain sounds that will be heard. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Those are some very special sounds that will be heard when our Lord returns. Jesus will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You know, on that very special day, I'm not going to need these hearing aids to hear that. Not only will every eye see the Lord when he returns, but every ear will hear these sounds. We've already read Revelation 1 and verse 7, but there are some very important details revealed in that verse. Jesus will return with clouds. How did he ascend to heaven? A cloud took him up. The angel said he's coming back in the very same way. And John said, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. We want to consider what's going to happen to everything when the Lord returns. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. We read the first part of this verse, which says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But let's look at the rest of the verse. In the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When Jesus returns, everything will be burned up. You know, lately I've noticed several times that attention is being given to some huge body out in the heavens that's heading toward earth. And if it hits the earth, it could cause great destruction. Now, you know, someone might wonder, okay, is that the method that God is going to use to destroy the earth? No. How do I know that? Because man can detect the time of arrival of such objects. But Jesus said no one knows the time of his return. When our Lord returns, everything will be burned up. You know, that should help us understand what the Lord had to say about placing our treasures in the proper place. He talked about laying up treasures in heaven. Those will not be destroyed. Those will not be burned up. There's one other matter that we need to mention. This is a very important detail that's given in the Lord's word concerning his return. The Lord's return should motivate his followers to live correctly. Since we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's continue at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. This chapter contains some very important information relating to the Lord's return. And here, Peter's talking about how that should affect us in the way that we live. We know that everything's going to be burned up when the Lord returns. We also know that the Lord has promised a new dwelling place for his followers. That being the case, we ought to live right. Well, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Jesus explained why we must continue in his word. He talked about the importance of continuing in his word in John 8, verses 31 and 32. But there's one particular characteristic of the Lord's word that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 and verse 35 that helps us to explain, or helps us to understand, why we must continue in his word. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." That's a very important reason for continuing in the Lord's word. His words will not pass away. That being the case, we need to listen to the Lord's instruction. Matthew 24 and verse 42, he said, "Watch." And in Matthew 24 and verse 44, he said, "Be ready." The day of the Lord's return will be the greatest day of all. And we know that destruction is associated with the Lord's return. However, for those who are watching, for those who are ready, that will be the greatest day of all. In our songs we were singing earlier, reference is made to the Lord's return. I believe that's a subject we ought to sing about, we ought to study about, we ought to think about, we ought to talk about. And I know that I've mentioned this many times, but I'll probably, Lord willing, just keep on mentioning it. I'm beginning to appreciate those words spoken at the end of the Revelation by old Apostle John. He said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now, John prayed that short prayer many, many years ago. He was looking forward to the Lord's return. And he teaches us to follow his example.